you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie. Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio. All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who's been on the show before, but not for a long time, and today we're talking about a very different project than we talked about the previous times you were on the show. So I think the best way to start this off is, if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what it is that you do, and then we can sort of get into what this new project is and what you've been working on.
Right, so do you kind of want me to talk about, like, what I was doing before this?
Well, we can get into that too if you want. I mean, I guess for people who maybe have listened to the show for a long time, you were on a handful of episodes.
It was a while ago now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'm Jordan, and I spent most of my time playing as a country musician for the band The Moonlit Road.
Yeah.
Which that would have been the last time that I spoke to you, I guess, would have been with that project. And I did that for like 10 years, and then COVID happened and kind of hung my hat up on that for a little while. And,
sure.
You know, life kind of gets away from you when you've got little kids and stuff. And now that my son is 10 and my daughter is 8, I've kind of felt like, okay, I could get back out to performing a little bit more. And with that led me to, I want to start recording a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it in a way that felt less forced and more comfortable. So I started recording, just throwing a mic up in my living room and like getting very honest performances that I've left the mistakes in. And while I hate listening back to that, I hope other people don't.
Well, there's something to be said about that though, right? I mean, I think that a lot of people, maybe especially now that there's so many tools that you can easily use to completely polish the shit out of what you're doing, there are people people are forgetting that rawness. There's a reason why that works, right? Having that kind of not that you want to be bad and put out a crappy quality recording, but there's something about sort of raw in the moment music that I think people have often forget about now, because there's so many AI tools and things to just clean everything up, right?
Right, and that's kind of what the direction that I was going with The Moonlit Road was, like, more production quality, and
yeah,
I don't know what the word is, but more production efforts towards making a more commercial kind of type of music, which,
yeah, it was polished.
Yeah, it was like, it was fun, but I don't really want to do that anymore. Now I kind of have been in a place of making music that's mostly for myself and for my friends, and I've found that I enjoy that a whole lot more than trying to chase that country commercial sound that wasn't ever really quite hitting the nail on the head anyways.
Yeah.
So this has been kind of refreshing to just pick up a guitar and see what comes out.
Is that sort of how you think about this project? Just something that you're just grabbing a guitar and just sort of recording whatever sort of, you know, gets birthed out of your brain and your fingers? Or I guess how much, because it sounds a lot more, not experimental, but a lot looser, I think, than The Moonlit Road, in the sense that, I mean, what you just described does sound like how it's happening. It sounds like you're just sort of putting music out there and sort of seeing where it goes. Is that accurate, or is it more structured than I think it is?
No, you're 100% right. Like, the way that I recorded these two records that I've released this year was I got super stoned and grabbed my guitar and saw what happened. So yeah, it's a lot looser than it was before, and I think that's part of why I enjoy it a lot more, is because I just sit down in my chair with my guitar, throw up a microphone, see what happens, and have a good time. And my hope is to do a lot more of that this year, a lot more of these kind of really raw recordings that I feel are more genuine anyways than things I've done before. So I want to punch as many of those songs out as I can this year while I'm in the mood to do that.
Well, that kind of explains, I guess, how you've already been fairly prolific and the year is still very young. Do you, I guess with these songs, I mean, once you sort of record them and they're out of your brain and onto a recording, do you, I mean, are these replayable? Do you know how to play these songs anymore, or were they just so much in the moment that it came out and then the next thing is going to be completely different? Like, how does this work, you know, in a hypothetical live show?
I can play them back.
You can play them back. Okay.
I kind of improvised with the instrumental stuff. I definitely improvised a lot of stuff, but it's not super complicated stuff, right?
Sure.
So if you've played guitar for a while, you can kind of pick it up and get it again, or certainly close enough that nobody would actually notice if you changed a few notes here or there.
Yeah, especially with the instrumental stuff, right? I mean, people are not going to be that tuned in unless they listen to it all day, every day, but...
Yeah, exactly. And it's acoustic finger-picking kind of stuff, right?
So yeah.
It's with that record, the intention was to make something that my friends could throw on in the background kind of thing. So there's a song on that for like each of my closest friends kind of thing. Well, so
all of the names on the track names are just initials, right?
Right.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah. That's got to be cool for the people who recognize themselves in those initials. And it's
right?
kind of a
well,
secret.
Yeah, because they don't. Yeah, they don't all know that they have a song, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Well, see who notices.
Yeah, yeah. Some people might find out like years later and just be, holy shit, song about me.
Yeah.
One thing that I often ask people who make instrumental music, and you know, a lot of the time that's like a jazz band or something like that, or someone doing something really kind of out there. This is a little bit more sort of non-experimental. It's just, you're not making feedback noises or weird, you know, noise things. And
yeah,
but how do you what are your songs? How do you make a song about something when there's not the obvious connection of having lyrics about something? I mean, obviously, when you're making this up and coming up with the music, you have something in mind. There's something behind what you're doing, but you were in a band, you know, previously where it was all very much sort of out in the open, what you were talking about. The vocals were very prominent. I mean, and now you have an instrumental record that is quite different. How do you make a song about something without having that sort of explicit text as far as lyrics go?
Right. So like the first record that I released in January is more of my typical kind of vocals and guitar strumming kind of thing. But the instrumental stuff is stuff that I've always done, or certainly for the last couple of years anyhow. It's stuff that I've done at, like I've always played something instrumental at my live performances.
Okay.
So some of this, I guess you could say some of it originated there. So there's always been that little part of me that I wanted to explore a little bit more, and I finally decided it was time to do that. But with writing instrumental songs, it's hard to put it into words because it's more of a just... I start messing around on the guitar, and then the pieces kind of link up and come together in a way that makes sense to me, maybe not to anybody else. And when that kind of clicks, I realize, oh, that's who this song is for, or,
sure,
or whatever, with the instrumental stuff. It's not usually until a little bit after the fact that I go, oh, okay, so that's where that was leading me.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, so you're not thinking about it ahead of time. This song is going to be about this person or this event. You play the song, and then it sort of does it become clear, sort of like, oh, this reflects on this feeling or this incident or this person or whatever.
Yeah, like it's the same for when I write songs with vocals or when I write songs without vocals. It just kind of goes bleh out of me, and then I think about it after.
Yeah, sure.
Like most of the songs I write, if it takes more than 15 minutes, I've probably stopped working on it because it wasn't catchy enough.
Sure. Yeah. Well, like, is this kind of freeing doing this? Because I mean, the Moonlit Road, obviously, like you said earlier, you know, you're trying to make this more polished, more commercial sounding thing. I mean, you got nominated for a few country music awards. And so I guess the profile was a little higher. Do you feel sort of more free to just do whatever now, because it's been a few years since that, and you're obviously just sort of doing this passion project kind of thing?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with the Moonlit Road, and I loved all the people that I played with, you know, in that band over the years. But I think it just kind of had started to, for me, overstay its welcome a little bit. Like I was like caught in a rut of, well, these same four chords together are going to make this kind of song. And if I talk about this kind of thing, people are going to be more inclined to listen to it than if I pick up my acoustic guitar, get baked, and write a song that has no lyrics, right?
For sure.
Removing that element from making music has made it a lot more fun, because it's kind of reminded me why I started playing guitar in the first place.
Yeah.
And for me, vocal music has always been a very uncomfortable thing, because, like, I don't have the greatest voice. Like, I am the first person to admit that. It's kind of high-pitched and comes out of my nose and croaky and creaky. I like to think that, you know, Neil Young got away with it, so maybe it's okay for me too. But the instrumental music feels a little bit better to me to listen back to.
Okay.
Because I don't have that self-conscious piece attached to it.
Sure. Yeah. What's the goal with this then? I mean, are you hoping that this is going to become... you know, a thing where you're actually playing a lot of shows or touring or recording a bunch of more music? I mean, is there a goal, or are you just having fun with what you're sort of doing at the moment?
There's going to be music that I make this year that has a more specific goal. Like, I'm planning on making a more proper produced record, like I've done in the past as well. But while that's kind of ruminating around in my head, or whatever the right word is, I've decided, you know what, I want to do this, because this is stuff that I've wanted to do for a while. I saw, I'm trying to remember who it was, this is not me trying to compare myself to these people at all, but I saw the Landreth brothers do a living room session or whatever, where they had just thrown up microphones, and I was like, oh, I would love to do that. That's so cool. That's, you know, so that was... That idea had sat in the back of my head for a little while. Like, oh, I would like to try something kind of like that sometime. And it was fun to do. So I kind of want to do more of that.
What's sort of the punk rock approach without necessarily having the punk rock sound, right? I mean, no one's going to mistake your record for a punk album. But I think aesthetically, you know, you did the whole sitting in a room, putting a mic in and barfing up whatever you decide, your brain decides to sort of, you know, put out in the world. I think that is very much the punk attitude, at least.
Right. Well, and I started playing in punk bands originally.
Right.
Like that's where I kind of like cut my teeth playing guitar and live performances and stuff. I never was a singer from the beginning. I was just a guitar player and a songwriter. But over time, I got pushed into that direction because I was the only one with the confidence or the charisma or whatever to do that. So I think I'm going to try more instrumental music again this year too. And, but I would like to take that in a different direction too and do an electric record this time.
Cool.
Instead of just, the acoustic thing. So the instrumental stuff is definitely still evolving. With the songs that have lyrics, it still comes out the same way it always did.
Okay.
So I want to try to push that a little bit, sound wise further than I have before, instead of, instead of that commercial country sound that I was chasing for years.
At every trip, you medically to me, you were my everything. And in the limelight glow, here, and you call all the shots. Hey, hey, misery, you be sweet to me. Not a step behind. You like to ride my back like a rodeo. And if I'm going, hey, hey, misery, keep it company. Hey, hey, misery, you be sweet to me. Hey, 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 misery, you be sweet to me. Hey, hey, misery.
Pushing it sound-wise, I mean, you know, you within the same sentence almost, you mentioned doing an electric record and then pushing it sound-wise. I mean, how, and you mentioned Neil Young earlier too. I mean, how far are you taking the pushing of the electric sound? Because that could go in a lot of different, like, chaotic directions, and mostly good. But what is that sort of what you're hoping? Like, are you going to be, is this going to be some feedback wrench thing, or is it, what do you think of that?
So we took one of my old country songs and, remixed it and changed it into like an EDM song.
Okay.
So like, I mean like that, like pushing it really far from what I've typically done.
Right. What is, go ahead.
No, that's good.
Okay. I was going to say, what has the reaction been to these two records that you put out so far? I mean, again, you haven't played a lot of shows. I'm not sure if you played any in support of these, but they're out there. You know, you've posted about it on social media. People are hearing them clearly. Have you got any feedback from friends, family, enemies, whatever?
Yeah, so like I had only started playing live again at the end of last year, and I kind of crammed a whole bunch of gigs into a short amount of time there, and then took a break over Christmas and then recorded these two records. So I'm going to start booking performances again right away to kind of support these.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I felt an urgency to just push these ones out as quick as I could, right? It was just like, okay, it's done now. I want it out there. The reactions to this stuff has been like, you know, it's good. The people that typically hear your music first are the people that you don't actually know and not the friends that you send it to. I mean, you work in the same business. You know how it is.
For sure.
But it's been like what I have heard has been supportive and positive, and I don't care as much.
Yeah. I think it's a good place to be where you don't care, because then you can just be genuine about what you're putting out in the world. And if people like it, great. If they don't, who cares, right?
Right. Well, and that's kind of been my approach to 2025 this year is 2025 this year. It's 2025 only this year. That's been my approach to the year so far, is to kind of try to care a little bit less about what other people think and a little bit more about doing things for the right reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
It feels a little bit more honest. So that's part of why with these really low production effort, records that I'm making, I like leaving the mistakes in, because that feels a little bit more honest too.
Yeah.
Like there's one song, it's called Blue on the first record I released this year, that has a terrible sounding voice crack in it. And every time I hear that back, I'm like, oh, that is awful, and it takes me out of the moment. But that's also why I like it, is because it takes me out of that moment for a split second. So I'm like, you know what? Okay, I have to leave that in there. And if I were to take that one song out and then re-record it and attach it to the other ones that I had recorded live in the living room, it would completely lose the vibe. Like, for sure. It would just ruin things. So I would rather that mistake live on in a recording and not ruin the vibe of the rest of what was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's like a peek behind the curtain, right? It's like, it's almost like seeing the backstage sort of machinations of how this works, because you're hearing the mistake that most people would cut out of the album, you know, because they're trying to do some kind of polished commercial thing. And it's some of my favorite music, not necessarily mistakes, but you can hear things like pick slides, or you can hear one of my favorite example of this is, you know, I'm a big Steve Earle fan, and he has one particular song where you can hear him breathing heavily while he's playing harmonica, like between the harmonica parts, there's this big intake of breath, and it's a lot of people would cut that out.
It's cool though,
but it's so good. It makes it so much more emotional. Yeah. It's already an emotional song, and having that it's like the killer part of the song. Like, that's my favorite part of that song, and it's one of my favorite songs. And like, I love hearing stuff like that where you can sort of hear the real person behind it, putting what they're putting into the song
Right, absolutely, and that's I think part of why as I get older I gravitate more to indie artists than I might have done in my 20s, because
for sure,
of that authenticity and the less polished sound. I still have a soft spot for all of that polished pop crap too. So I want to try a couple of songs like that this year to just kind of get my jollies off with that. But I think I'm also going to do a punk song that throws back to my youth a little bit.
Cool.
Just because, you know, I haven't done it in a while and I want to make sure I still can.
You're not too old yet? Yeah.
I think that's honestly a big part of the motivation for recording the way that I've been so far this year too, is like, I just want to see if I can still do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, because I did pretty much stop doing music during COVID, and it's kind of just been slowly firing up for me again. And we'll see where it goes, but it's nice to see so far that, oh yeah, I can still do these things that I put down for a while.
Yeah. After a long break, you can still get into it. Yeah. Yeah. What's the plan for doing this live? I mean, is it all going to be just strictly solo, or are you eventually sort of intending to grow this into something that would have more people playing at a show?
So, I had a couple of bands that were coming together out here for a little bit, but that kind of fell apart. It's a little challenging when you live in a rural area and people don't all live in the same town to try to juggle schedules and get together to even start to write the music or learn the parts or whatever in the first place.
Well, it's hard enough the older you get to, everyone has kids and things and careers and all this stuff. So that makes it an extra level of complication, the fact that you're not necessarily in the same community. Yeah.
Right. And it just seems like it's gotten less easy to get together to rehearse. So I think this year anyways, it's mostly going to be solo kind of stuff, which I did that for a few years when the Moonlit Road first started, and it's kind of nice to get back to that again in a little bit of a way too, because, you know, like, I have good memories of sitting on bar stools in empty bars where the only thing to talk to was the microphone, you know?
Yeah.
That was, like, I didn't hate those nights as much as maybe I thought I did at the time.
Thank you.
Because of the way you're recording this, because of this kind of raw, you know, very stripped down way of making these records so far anyway, are you intending to record live stuff too? Like, I mean, is that something you could potentially do? Just sort of throw a mic or some kind of portable recorder in front of you at a show, or hook it up to the board or whatever, if there's a board? Or is that something?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about doing that before, because like I have a nice little handheld recording. It's probably similar to what you use for your podcast.
Probably
I'm
is,
guessing,
yeah.
Like, so it does a great job. I just haven't. I tried to do it once before, and it didn't work the way I had hoped when we did it direct to the board. So if I did it again this time, I would use the handheld recording unit, I think, to do it. But I would need to find the right venue to do it.
For sure.
Just to get the right vibe.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You don't want to do somewhere too big and then it's just the tiny sound on stage and you don't want to, you don't want a bunch of people drinking in the background, making a bunch of noise. I mean, there's a definitely a time and place for having that sort of aesthetic to
it.
But for people who haven't heard you before, or maybe people who've heard The Moonlit Road and maybe, you know, forgot about that you were still making music, what's the best way to find these records? I mean, they're out there in the world now. Where would you sort of direct someone to check them out?
You could find them on all of the normal streaming services. They're like, under Jordan Basso, not under The Moonlit Road anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm considering getting physical copies of these ones. I haven't committed to that idea yet. Just kind of seems like one of those things that might be fun to have again.
For sure. I'm never going to say that someone shouldn't do physical copies, because I'm all about the physical copies. So
of course, yeah.
I'm going to encourage that with anyone's project ever. So yeah, please do physical copies.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and like, part of the motivation for the physical copy is it's nice to have the shelf trophy.
For sure. For sure.
Like I know you're very much about that with like cassette tapes and stuff. And I have my own nerdy things that I'll keep secret that I collect the same way. And I'm equally passionate about.
Sure. Is there, what's the best way to find out about upcoming shows and things? I mean, you know, it's a podcast. Someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now. And maybe by then you have, you know, five more records out and you're playing a lot of shows. Who knows? How can someone sort of follow you and find out what you're up to?
Right. So I, over the last little bit, have really downsized my social media quite a bit. So it's a little tricky to hear about shows that I play now compared to what it was like before, where I was sharing things more publicly. But
yeah,
you can still find on Facebook and social media where I'll be playing. And I have noticed that it gets posted in like Manitoba Music on the website and stuff, where artists are playing or whatever. So
yeah, yeah.
I think you can check the usual places and find me. I'm always around. It's not hard to find me.
Cool. Is there anything, I mean, at the time we're recording this, which is, you know, mid-February already, do you have anything planned for the relatively near future, whether it's a show, whether it's more releases, anything like that, or is it all sort of more further down the road?
No, I do have a planned set of songs in mind that I'm going to do, probably for the next record. It's going to be a covers one.
Okay.
Of some of the songs that I either used to play in my set back in the day, or that I've always wanted to take a stab at, or, you know, influence me or whatever. So there's a Keith Whitley song that I'm going to play. There's a Bush song that I'm going to play. Like, you know, like, it's a wide variety that's all over the place. There's Tom Petty, but then there's Pop Evil. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. It's all going to be stripped down and acoustic for the cover stuff. But I'm excited to see how that one goes, because I am somebody who feels like it is very hard to beat the original version of a song, and I would never, ever want to try to do that.
Sure.
But I want to see how it stacks up against the original, and if I feel the same kind of feelings that I got from listening to the original when I listen back to mine.
Well, and especially because you're doing this, you know, solo acoustic stripped down thing. I mean, a lot of the times the best covers are songs that completely change the whole style of the original. I mean, it's, you know, if someone plays it sort of note for note exactly like it sounds in the original recording, it's pointless. But if you kind of deconstruct something or put a new spin on it, it can often give it a, sort of a bonus enjoyment of it.
Right. And if I do it in a completely different style from the original, you might be distracted by that fact and less likely to notice my mistakes.
Unless you want people to notice mistakes, unless the mistakes are very prominently part of it. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Do you know when that's coming out, or is that sort of like to be determined once you've got this recorded and planned and everything?
I'm hoping by the end of March.
End of March. It's pretty soon.
Yeah.
So that'll be three records in 3 months.
If I can manage to do one a month, I will. But I think that's a little ambitious.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it would be cool to see. It'd be cool to see that happen. Is there a lot of how much of what you record gets kept on the records? Like, do you have a bunch of songs from these previous two albums that didn't make the cut, or is it sort of everything that you've planned for this is ends up on the finished product?
So with the first record that has vocals on it, I sat down and played a couple songs until I felt like I was done and that vibe was kind of gone.
Okay.
So it just ended up being what it was. I forgot your question already.
It doesn't matter. The reason I was asking the question is because, like, I'm trying to help you by giving you an idea of doing a B-side record. That way, if you have stuff that didn't make the other records and you don't have a record for whatever month, you can always just throw that in there, right?
Right. Yeah. And I do have, like, tons of songs like that from over the years that I could, you know, easily pull out and polish up. But some of them I would find I related to less now than when I wrote them. So I would be a little bit picky choosy what would wind up on new releases compared to old ones. Like, I have some songs that, you know, one of my first songs that actually got played that people would have listened to was called Carefree Days.
I remember that song. And
it talks about cooking fish in Shake and Bake. Like, it doesn't get much more small town country than that, because I'm not talking about bought off the shelf Shake and Bake. I'm talking about like a homemade version that only people who have caught these particular nasty jackfish know what I'm talking about cooking them up in. I don't feel like writing that and singing that anymore like I did at the time. So yeah. The kind of songs that are making it onto these records this year are ones that talk about more serious subjects and more intimate things for myself, maybe.
Sure.
So there is on the first record some of those old songs like that. Carefree Days is on there, and a song called Drive that I did with Moonlit Road is on there. But I think if you listen to it, you'll notice the mood of it starts to transition a little bit more towards more mature songwriting, maybe.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that that progression will be obvious over the year with the next couple.
Cool. Right on. Well, hopefully it is. I mean, I it's a very ambitious plan to do a record a month, but I mean, you seem to be going two for two so far. So hopefully the rest of the year works.
It's just the beginning, man. It's just the beginning. Someone's going to listen to this in like a year and be like, that fucker didn't do it at all.
Yeah, you stopped in March or something. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave up after two. I can't believe it.
The voices ringing all the way across town. Just trying to bring her down. I know she's dreaming. And now it's she lays down. She's gonna make it, get away from this town. And blue don't always fade to black. Blue steady on that track. Blue never looking back. Blue don't always fade to black. Oh, blue. Graduated, blue was that cap and gown. Mama's crying, and daddy never been more proud. Blue Toyota, it's never been so weighed down. She's got a lot by the heart and behind the fields of corn. And blue don't always fade to black. Blue steady on that track. Blue never looking back. Blue don't always fade to black. Oh, blue. Oh, blue. Don't always fade to black. Blue steady on that track. Blue never looking back. Blue don't always fade to black. No, blue don't always fade to black. Blue steady on that track. Blue never looking back. Blue don't always fade to black. Oh, blue. How blue.